Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, and we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we love him, and he in us, because he has given us spirit, and we have seen and testify that God, that Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him.
Bless you. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for stepping in there. Whoever lives in God, God is love, and whoever lives in God lives in love, and God and love lives in God lives in them. Maybe I should have just read it rather than try to do it from memory. Okay, children, you need to be able to see the screen. I hope you can all see the screen, because I want to tell you a story this morning, and it's a story that I think is an Easter story. And it's the story of the topsy-turvy kingdom, and pictures are going to appear behind me. Up is a word that I say when I look at a bird in a tree or the sky. Down is a place where I go when I fall from my bike or I slip on a pie. Hot is the water Mum runs in my bath, but cold is each splash on the floor. These are all things that I know to be true, like I know 2 and 2 equals 4. But what if the truth that you held in your heart would suddenly vanish away? What if up became down and cold became hot and night was no different than day? Now there once was a place in a time long ago where such a disaster occurred. And as you might guess, when nothing is true, everything else is absurd. People would walk on their hands to the park and bounce on their heads to the store. Firemen only came out in the rain and rich people begged from the poor. It would have been fine if that's where it stopped. No cause would there be for alert. But when lies become truth and right becomes wrong, someone was bound to get hurt. This is the tale of Herbie the prince and his father the king of the land. Together they ruled over many a town and the woods and the sea and the sand. Here the father was wise and was loved by most all. His kingdom abounded in joy, for he had made laws to protect everyone, every cat, every girl, every boy. The laws were quite simple, and everyone learned to be honest and loving and kind. Silly and fun had their place in the day, but sensible things had their time. Herbie enjoyed being prince of the land. Who could ask for anything more? Till the terrible day when the great trumpet sounded and called Herbie's father to war. Of course, for a while on everyone's hearts were thoughts and prayers for the king. But as days turned to weeks and weeks became years, there happened a dangerous thing. It seems that our king has been gone a long time, somebody worried aloud. You don't suppose he was hurt in the war? Now a hush fell over the crowd. Perhaps Herbie's dad will never return, a woman whispered in fear. I don't remember there being a king, yelled a foolish young man in the rear. Yippee, we're free, said a silly old man. Now we can do as we please. So he pulled out some pepper and sprinkled the crowd, and everyone started to sneeze. Gesundheit, said Herbie, arriving from class. Why are the kids out of school? The crowd chanted loudly. We haven't a king, so now we can make our own rules. Herbie was shocked and was sad and was hurt. That's how his father would feel. He pinched his own cheek and he tried to wake up, but it wasn't a dream. It was real. I say it's best to walk on your hands, said a man with a very large purse. And I say it's best that stop should mean go, said a man with a tow cart and nurse. And someone said truth is always the best, unless telling lies turns out better. And someone that said that stealing from others is wrong, except if you fancy their sweater. Like warm peanut butter, this rottenness spread, till everyone took to the way of doing whatever they liked when they wanted, no matter what others might say. Then just when it seemed that all had been lost, and the whole world had gone topsy-turvy, there sounded a blast from the tower above, and there with the horn was Prince Herbie. My father made laws to protect everyone, every cat, every girl, every boy. And while we obeyed him and lived by his rules, our kingdom abounded in joy. But look at us now. The place is a wreck. Oh, why should there be so much pain? I beg you, return to the ways of the king, for living like this is insane. Then somebody hollowed, hey, what's the idea telling us what we should do? Your father, the king, is nowhere in sight and nobody wants to see you. Get him, they shrieked. No son of a king shall tell us what's wrong or what's right. So they charged up the tower with every intent of launching the prince into flight. Herbie slid down and leapt over a pig, crawled under a Holstein or three, then raced through the church and made quite a splash with the ladies' group having their tea. The hand walkers quickly began to give chase and the stoppers went go all the way. Those who liked stealing then brought up the rear and the liars weren't there, so they say. They caught up with Herbie, or Herb as he's known, when he ran through a sign that meant stop. And he was arrested and taken to jail by a fellow who wasn't a cop. Guilty as charged, said the kangaroo judge. Your father, the king, is no more. Mention him ever again and you'll find you'll be leaving this place with a roar. People leaned forward to gaze at the boy. Would he dare to speak of his dad? Herbie felt dizzy and ready to faint. Oh, he was too scared to be sad. Finally, Prince Herbie opened his mouth and whispered so quiet and clear that everyone heard every word that he said as though it were yelled in their ear. My father made laws to protect everyone, every cat, every girl, every boy. And while we obeyed him and lived by his rules, our kingdom abounded in joy. The laws were quite simple, and everyone learned to be honest and do what is right. Even at moments like this one right now, when doing so fills you with fright. Enough! Cried the judge. That's the end of the lad. Now fling him clear off of the planet. So all of the flingers cranked back the great arm. It took 42 just to man it. Then right when poor Herbie was set to be flung, there happened a very strange thing. A powerful blast on the trumpet rang out, and the flingers were stopped in mid-fling. The people looked up to the tower and saw there clearly was nobody in it. So they turned back to Herb to blast him away. But a mighty voice roared, just a minute. I thought I made laws to protect everyone, every cat, every girl, every boy. But I see you've forgotten to follow my ways, and my kingdom has lost all its joy. The king had returned, and he scooped Herbie up in a tender and powerful hug, while all of the others tried sneaking back home to hide themselves under a rug. Then little by little, they came out again to ask for forgiveness at least. And the king was forgiving and gathered the folks for a special community feast. This is my son who stood up for the truth, said the king of our hero, Prince Herbie. For he knew in my law there was power and love to spare us from topsy and turvy. So now once a year to help us recall what happens when we go astray, Herbie, my son, will climb up to the tower and call us all back the right way. So still to this day in that faraway place, the trumpet is played by Prince Herbie. And I think that his people will never again let their kingdom become topsy-turvy. Now, I hope for many of you, you can see why that's an Easter story. Because we celebrate God putting the world right again. That's what Jesus dying on the cross was about. That's what him rising again on Easter Day was about. That's why we eat chocolate Easter eggs on Easter Sunday. Because Jesus raised from the dead. And in rising from the dead, he created a new world. A world that is not topsy-turvy. But the problem is, we keep trying to go back to topsy-turvy. And every time we forget God's love for us, every time we forget that he's a loving, just, powerful God, then things start going wrong. And that passage we had read to us at the start talked about God being love. You know, the service beforehand, we had a wonderful service. And at the end, one of the visitors came to see me and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, I just don't know why I'm getting so emotional. And I said, that's because you're encountering God. Because we meet here not just to sing songs, not just to hear people talk, not just to leave feeling better about ourselves. We meet here to encounter the living God. And where there is love, there is God. And this morning, that man encountered God in the midst of our service and in the middle of all of the love that was here. And this is the kind of love, a different version of that passage that Andrew read. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us, sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Easter Day and every day is about being right with God. And it's the reminder that we can be through what Jesus has done, through him defeating death and being raised again. That's why we shout Alleluia. That's why we praise God, because we can know him. You know, and if you're visiting this morning and you're not sure, I'd encourage you to ask. Ask God to meet with you during communion, during our singing. Ask him to meet with you, to show you his love for you, because he loves each of us. No matter what we've done, no matter what we thought, no matter what we said, his love is for everyone here this morning. We're going to move into a time of communion. And communion is when we remember that sacrifice of Jesus. We remember the meal he took. We remember that he lives again. And we're going to remember together our great and loving God.